growing up in Western Pennsylvania. I grew up in the mountains out there. And my life was about to change in 1986 because I was coming east. And I was coming to the seminary in Myerstown, begin really a whole new relationship with a lot of new people. And I had just gone to the seminary to do my interview there for a new student coming in. And just walked out of the door after meeting the dean and having my interview and all of that. I walked out of the door and here comes in Reg Austin. Reg Austin was the pastor of Reading First EC Church. And he had asked the dean if there was any new students coming in that they would be a good potential for a youth pastor. They were looking for a youth pastor for their church in Reading. And they said, is there anybody new coming in that you would recommend? Well, I just walked out the door and he walks in and he calls and he says, yeah, there's a new guy coming in. His name's Dan Blank. He might be a good candidate for you. And their previous youth pastor's name was Mike Sigmund, if you've heard of that name. And Mike Sigmund was leaving there and gone on to Baltimore and eventually would become our bishop. And so I got a call then from Reg Austin a couple days later. And he said, I'm Reg Austin and I'm the pastor at First EC Church and I'm interested, would you like to be our youth pastor? And so I went there and I interviewed and God provided that at the right time for me as I was coming into seminary to give me 3 years of experience and also some income to help me through seminary. It was a hit provision of the Lord that I did not expect, but it came completely from him. That's how God works. So then I got to seminary and I get checked in and I get registered and I'm getting ready to settle in there and begin a life out here. And I was living up in the dormitories. So I had to go to meet that guy. His name was Dr. Carl Becker. His father was a missionary, but he ran our business office there at the seminary at the time. And I had to go and to talk with him about paying my bills and the financial part of school, you know, the hard part. So he said to me, he said, you're living up in the dorms, right? I said, yeah. He said, would you mind, he said, if you take the key, I give you a master key to the building. He said, would you mind going around every night at 10 o'clock and making sure that all the doors of the building are locked at 10 p.m.? And if you do, you can stay here for room and board provided for you for free. I said, sure, I'll do that. So for 3 years, I got to live at the seminary with room and board provided. All I had to do was go and lock the doors every night. Again, God provided. The provision of the Lord that comes in unexpected ways. That's the scripture we want to see this morning as we continue our theme together on the names of God, getting to know God through his names. Today, we're focusing in on that name, Jehovah Jireh, simply meaning God will provide. It's a combination of the word we saw last week, Jehovah or Yahweh, which means the Lord, I am who he is, and Jireh, meaning provide. The context of this scripture comes from what we just read. This name comes from what we just read in Genesis chapter 22, where the experience with Abraham, where God had called him, was going to test his faith and gave him, said, I want you to take your son Isaac. Now remember, God had first come to him 25 years earlier, long before this, and said, you're going to have a son. I'm going to bless you. Leave Ur. And he left his home, followed God to a new area. God began to provide for him. But 25 years he waited for his son to come, and now his son's a teenager. And he says, I want you to take him and offer him as a sacrifice to me on the altar. What a test. Can you imagine if God came to you and said, I want you to give that which is most precious to me, one of your children, to sacrifice to me? It was a hard test. But Abraham did it, and he listened, and he obeyed the Lord, and he went to Mount Moriah, and we read the story, and he bound Isaac. And he put him on the altar as a sacrifice. Then we knew God didn't want him as a sacrifice to kill him because God does not believe in human sacrifice. It was a test of Abraham's faithfulness to see if Abraham loved God more than his own son. As he put him on the altar and was prepared to come down with the knife, as we read the story, all of a sudden God stopped him and said, Abraham, no. I now know that you love me more than anything else. Then he heard this sound. In the thicket of a ram, and God provided. And imagine the joy that Abraham felt at that moment. God provided for him. And he named that place Jehovah or Yahweh Jireh, because he said, the Lord will provide. This morning, as we focus in on that name, praise God that we have a God who provides for us, for you and me. He is our provider in time of need. And in all things. And Jehovah Jireh says, will the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's Yahweh. We learned about that last week. But the Lord Yahweh will provide, not may, but will. Aren't you thankful for that? And so this morning, briefly, we want to look at the word and discover four ways that God will provide for us. First, Jehovah Jireh, your God and mine, will provide for our resources. You can take it to the bank. It's a sure thing. He will provide for your resources and mine for our need. We don't have to doubt it. He did for Abraham. He will for us. And when you rely on him with your needs, when we rely on God for our provision, that's why we need to rely on him, because he will provide. Sometimes we rely on ourselves, but it's God who gives us the strength to work. It's God who gives us that ability to bring provision in, but ultimately the provision comes from him. The scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from where? From the Lord himself. Relying on his provision, fully relying on him to meet our needs. And so because he will provide for our resources, we don't need to worry. God will provide, but boy, how often we do. Worry, anxiety, when we get to the end of the month and the bills are piling up and the money finances are getting low, and we wonder, where's the next bill going to come from? Do we have enough to hold us? God will always provide. Just as he did for Israel in the wilderness, when they began to grumble, when they began to complain for 40 years in the wilderness, every day he provided for them. And in fact, it tells us that their clothes didn't wear out, nor did the shoes on their feet. He saw for those 40 years that every need was provided for them. And he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, right? And he will provide for you and me as well. So we don't need to worry. But boy, we are plagued with anxiety. That's something we are worried about. But the scripture says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. Shall supply all your need. Highlight that, all of our need, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I ask you this morning, how much riches does Christ Jesus have? How much glory does he have? His riches are inexhaustible. It cannot be unending. It is a vast supply. It's unlimited. His supply is unlimited. His resources will never wear out. His riches are unsurpassed. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I've heard it said that whenever we have a need, all he'll do is sell off a couple head to meet our need for us, because he has that kind of supply. So we don't need to worry. The picture of this bird, God is my provider, I shall not worry, because the scripture says, Jesus himself said, don't worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap or gather in barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, are not you worth much more than a bird to the Lord? He cares for you much more than them, even though he cares and provides for them. And the birds don't worry. And they get up in the morning, they leave their nest, and they fly about knowing that God's going to provide the food they need for that day. Kim and I have been enjoying this past week. You know, I hate the snow. I'm not too much for it. But one thing I've been enjoying is Kim got me for Christmas a bird feeder. And I've been enjoying putting bird feed out and watching the birds in the morning. And they have been at the feeder, especially in the snow. And they don't have to worry when the snow's on the ground. They just trust God that God will provide for them food somewhere. And they go and they enjoy that which God provides, and they don't worry about it. Jesus said, that's the same with us, that our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and he will provide. His resources are unlimited. So don't worry. God will provide. You believe that? Jehovah Jireh will provide for us. But also depend on him. We need to rely on his provision, but also depend on God, because he is dependable. He will not let us down. He will never fail us, and he will provide in unexpected ways. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 4, we read that God had sent a famine on the land of Israel, the land of Judah, and Israel for 3 years because of their sin. They had a king by the name of Ahab and a queen by the name of Jezebel, very ungodly, who led the people away from God and sacrificed led the people into great sin. And because of that, God sent judgment. And he sent plagues. But he sent a 3-year famine on the land as a form of judgment. And in the midst of that, not only did the people suffer as judgment, but God's people did as well. But God said to Elijah, he said, go to the brook Cherith at Zarephath. Go to the brook there and I will feed you. He said, for I have commanded and directed the ravens to supply you with food. He says in verse 4. So God saw that in an unexpected way, he provided for Elijah, that he sent ravens to give him food every day. Now, as a Steeler fan, I can't stand ravens. And ravens, I always call, are dirty birds. And they really are, because you know what ravens eat? They eat carrion, they eat dead stuff that's decaying. But yet, God had the ravens come and bring Elijah food, going against their nature. Their nature would be to hoard that food for themselves. But they brought it to Elijah and shared it with him. And then when the brook dried up, he said, I want you to go to the town of Zarephath. And there I commanded, directed a widow to supply you with food. Another unexpected source was a widow who didn't have much herself. And when Elijah went there, he said, would you make me a meal? And she says, all I have is this little bit of oil and bread, flour. I'm going to make it for this last meal for my son and I, and I'm going to die. And Elijah says, well, put it in and make it for me first. And she trusted God, and she believed, and she did, and she made it for Elijah first. And as she did, she kept bringing out more and more, and God kept supplying that need in an unexpected way out of his resources that don't wear out. Your God and mine will provide in unexpected ways. Have you ever had that in your life where God has provided in an unexpected way? I've seen it many times. I traveled with the Johnson sisters and evangelistic work. And one time we were driving back, or Dot was driving back her van from a meeting at night and had a quarter of a tank of gas. And this was before cell phones, it was before any of that kind of thing. All she had was a quarter of a tank of gas, and she had a trip home of a couple hours. Didn't know if she was going to make it, but she started home anyway. She gets home and she had to go up this mountain, and she's gone up this mountain in Western PA. She had her foot on the floor, not on the gas pedal, and she's going up the hill 35 miles an hour. And she said to her sister, who was with her, Ruth, she said, Ruth, look at this. She said, we're going up 35 miles an hour, and my foot's not even on the gas. Can you believe this? She got home, she checked her gas. Guess how much she had? A quarter of a tank. God's provision. We can't explain it, but it happens in unexpected ways in your life and mine, just as it did for Abraham. It was unexpected for him. He was expecting, and Abraham said, God will provide. Isaac looked around as they were gone for the sacrifice, and he was carrying the wood. And he said, Dad, we have the wood, we have the fire, we have the knife, but I don't see a lamb. Where's the lamb at? And Abraham said, God will provide for us, son. And he did in an unexpected way. Even though Abraham didn't expect it, God came through. And that's what he does for you and I. And he will also provide at just the right moment. Abraham, as he was about to bring his hand down to slay his son, God said, Abraham, stop. And at that last moment, God came through and provided. Sometimes God does that with us. He waits after we've exhausted everything that we can do. After we use all of our resources and come through to the very end, we say, how am I going to make it? At that final point, God comes through because he wants to test our faith. Ever had that happen? That's the kind of God he is. This is a man, his name is George Mueller. And George Mueller was a man who lived by great faith. And he built an orphanage. And he determined that he was not going to make his needs known. He wasn't going to tell anybody what he needed. He was going to trust God to provide for him. And he went to college without knowing how he was going to pay for his tuition. And he asked God, he got down on his knees and asked God to provide. To his surprise, after he prayed, an hour later, he got a knock at his door. A professor knocked and said, offered him a paid tutoring job. And he was amazed. And that was the beginning of his life of faith. He then became pastor of a church in England, and the church wanted to pay him a good salary from the money that it received from renting pews to rich people who sat in the front. And the poor people had to get and sit in the cheap seats in the back, but the rich people could sit in these seats up front. And from that, they wanted to generate money that they would pay him. Now, he said no, And he did not allow the church to pay him a salary. And he trusted God to meet his needs, and God did. And him, George, and his family never missed a meal, and they were always able to pay their rent. But yet, he began to sense God had something else for him to do. So one day, as he was walking the streets, he saw children everywhere who had no mom and dad. And they lived in poor houses run by the state, and they were treated badly. So he felt God was leading him to open up an orphanage. And so again, he prayed. He didn't make the need known, but he prayed and trusted that God would make the need. And asking God to provide a building and people to oversee it, to furnish it with clothing and food. And God answered his prayers. And that's the orphanage that was built. Without asking for anything, God provided all that was needed. Many times, food and supplies or money came at the last minute. But God always provided without George ever telling anybody the need. Just praying and waiting on God. In one such instance, the children were dressed and they were ready for breakfast in school, but there was no food for them to eat. So George asked the house mother of the orphanage to take the 300 children into the dining room and to have them sit down at the table. He then thanked God for the food and waited. Now remember, there's nothing to eat. The kids are expecting breakfast. There's no food though. He prays. He thanks God for the food that he's going to provide. Soon as he said amen, there was a knock at the door. And George knew that God would provide. And so there was a knock at the door, and it was the baker. And he said, "Mr. Mueller," he said, "last night I couldn't sleep, and somehow I knew that you would need bread in the morning. So I got up and baked 3 batches for you. Can you use it? I'll bring it in." Soon there was another knock on the door, and it was the milkman. And his cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. Is that coincidental? It broke down in front of the orphanage, and he said the milk will spoil by the time the wheel would be fixed. So he asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was enough for the 300 thirsty children that morning. God's provision at just the right moment. More than 10,000 children lived in his orphanage over the years. And each child, as they became old enough to live on his own, George would pray with them and put a Bible in their right hand and a coin in their left. And he explained to each one of them that if they held on to what was in their right hand, God would always make sure there would be something in their left as well. And that's the provision of our God that we have, provides at just the right moment. When we take his word to heart and when we believe, for the Lord will provide. To rely on him. He will provide for our resources. But second, the Lord will provide for our rescue. Just as it was for Abraham, he is for us. As he bound Isaac and put him on the altar, Isaac was a picture of Jesus. And it says that Isaac carried the wood, just as Jesus carried the cross. And Isaac looked around and he said, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And God said, the Lord himself, look at that verse. Verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And then on verse 13, when God provided, he said, verse 14, the Lord will provide. And on to this day, it says, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On the mountain of the Lord, a reference to Mount Moriah, but which Mount Calvary, where Jesus himself would die. Because God will provide the lamb, and God provided the lamb for you and I. He provided a substitute. And he provided a substitute for Isaac, that Isaac didn't have to die. The ram died in his place. And Jesus provided a substitute. The Lord provided a substitute for you and me, and that's Jesus, that he died in our place, that we could be forgiven. He provided a way of rescue, that we could be redeemed, that we could be set free, that we could be saved from death, and have life. That's the God of provision, providing that rescue, providing a savior, providing a substitute. But he also, Jehovah Jireh, will provide for, because just as God provided the ram as a substitute for Isaac, he provided Jesus, his son, as the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. But three, Jehovah Jireh, our Lord, will also provide for our relief. That as, imagine as a parent or a grandparent, imagine if you received that same test from God, that he wanted you to offer your son to him. Imagine the burden on his heart. As the Lord called Isaac, Abraham, and he left his home, he left Sarah behind, and they traveled there to offer that sacrifice. And I imagine those three-day journey, his heart was heavy, knowing that he was about to offer Isaac. And when he bound him, and imagine when a father heard his son say, "Dad, where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham knew what he was about to do. I imagine his heart sunk. But imagine the relief that he had when that lamb was heard and God provided the ram in the place of his son. You imagine the relief that he said to the Lord. The same for you and I, that the Lord provides relief for us in those hard times of life, in those times of trials, and he comes through. That he provides endurance in times of adversity. When you're going through adversity, he provides the ability to endure and to bear up under it. He provides grace in time of need. That his grace that he provides is sufficient. His grace is greater than our sin. He provides strength in times of weakness. Whenever we feel weak and we can't go on, he provides the strength that we need. He provides protection in times of assault. He provides peace in times of storm. He provides hope in times of despair. He provides comfort in times of sorrow. When we lay a loved one in the grave, we have that comfort to know that the Lord provides more. He provides us that assurance. And he provides escape in times of tribulation, that the Lord will provide a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it and bear up under it." Praise God that Jehovah Jireh, our Lord, provides relief when we need it in a lot of different ways, through comfort, strength, grace, peace, endurance. He is there, and we can rely on him that he knows what you and I need, and every need he will supply at just the right time. And fourth, Jehovah Jireh, our God, will provide for our reward. For our wonderful reward, as it says here in verses 15, as the story ends, the Lord called to him a second time and he says, "Now I know that you love me more." And he said, declares the Lord, "Because you have done this and not withheld your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. And your descendants will take possession of the city of your enemies." And he reaffirmed the covenant blessing to him, the blessing promise that he had given to him when he first called him. And he said, "Now I know that you love me more, and you will surely be blessed. And your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky." And he promised and provided a great reward for him. Our Lord provides reward for us for our faithfulness too, because he provided a permanent residence. John chapter 14, verse 1 and 2 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I am going there to prepare a place for you." To provide that place, that permanent residence with the Lord. He provides also a glorious inheritance, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, an inheritance that lasts forever. He provides an eternal fellowship with our Lord. We're with him and one another, and he provides unending joy. The unending joy that we have of being with our Lord forever, joy that will not end. Our God, Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, will provide, not may, but will, providing daily for our resources, our rescue, our relief, and our reward. He is the God who provides for us, Jehovah Jireh. So I ask you this morning, think back in your life, and in what ways has God shown himself as your provider? How has he come through for you? How has he met your resources at just the right moment? How has he met your need that only he can supply? He will. He's faithful. And he will continue to do so. Well, of course, he's met that need of salvation through Jesus Christ as we've called on him. So keep the faith, because God will provide. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, and he cares for you. The Lord is our provider. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our provider. You provide for our resources, for all that we need, when we rely on you. And so, Lord, we don't need to worry and we don't need to doubt. And so often we do, and we confess that to you. We let anxiety fill our hearts, and that robs us of the peace that you want to bring us. And you said, don't let your heart be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present our request to you. And you, your peace will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. We thank you that you promised to supply all of our need. Not everything we want, but all that we need is provided through you, through your resources and your supply that can never be exhausted. And Lord, your supply comes so often at just the right moment after we've exhausted everything else, after we've tried everything that on our own, then often that's when you come through. But you come through at just the right moment, at just the right time. You provide because you know what that need is. And you provide for us in ways that we may not expect. And yet, we see your hand at work around us. So thank you for providing for our resources daily, just as you provided for Israel, and you provide for us. Father, we thank you that you provided for our rescue. You provided a way through Jesus that we could be forgiven, that we could be rescued from our sin and saved from danger and saved from death, that you provided a substitute in our place. You provided the Lamb of God who died for us. Thank you, Lord, that you provide for our relief, that in those hard times, in those times of trial and testing, when we cry out to you, you provide, you come through, you know what we need, whether it's strength, whether it's encouragement, whether it's peace, whether it's a way out, you provide it for us. And Father, we thank you that you provide and are providing a beautiful reward that is waiting for us someday when we stand before you, when we hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. So thank you, Lord, that you, Jehovah Jireh, provide for us. You will, and you will continue to. And we trust and rely on you because we know that all we have needed, your hand has and will provide. So we give you praise and glory unto your name, our Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, our provider. And we ask this in his glorious name.